Turn back the clock with me for a minute to the winter of 1777. It is the winter that the fledgling American army was stationed at Valley Forge. The stories of that winter have become somewhat legendary in American history. It was bitter cold. There was a lack of food, inadequate shelter and supplies, clothing not suited for that bitter Pennsylvania winter. You know that it is estimated out of the 12,000 Continental soldiers that were stationed there that winter, that 2,500 of them died that winter from pneumonia and starvation. The freedom we enjoy today in this country is due in part to that winter that they survived at Valley Forge. This is one of the stories from that winter. There was a corporal at Valley Forge who was directing three men to try and lift a log into place. It was too heavy. The men couldn't seem to get it off the ground, but the corporal kept commanding them again and again. All right, men, one, two, three, lift. Suddenly, a man on horseback in a long overcoat came by and said to the corporal, "Why aren't you helping those men lift that log?" The corporal pulled himself up and replied, "Sir, I am a corporal." Without a word, the man stepped off of his horse, bent down, helped the men lift the log into place. And you know who that man was. That man was George Washington. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Gentleness. The Bible also translates that word gentle as meek or humble. So what do you get when you decide to become a follower of Jesus? You get an extra dose of humility. You get an extra dose of meekness. You get an extra dose of gentleness. You know, I remember holding my kids for the first time. I remember that moment. That's kind of that Lion King moment. Remember that movie, The Lion King, when you hold Mufasa held this lion up high above his head? And I remember praying that day. What did I pray for those kids on that day? I prayed that they would be strong men and smart men and respected men and successful and independent men. What I did not say was, "Lord, let my boys be meek men." I did not say, "Lord, let my boys be humbled men." And I certainly did not say, "Lord, let these two boys become gentlemen." And the Lord has answered that prayer. I asked God to give my boys all the characteristics that would make them successful in this world. And maybe now I realize that I needed to ask God to build in them the character for the world that Jesus was trying to bring on earth. You know, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you are meek. Blessed are you when you've been humbled. Blessed are you when you've been gentled." And there's Jesus. There he goes again, offering these weird and strange blessings. I mean, it sounds like more of that Christian doormat theology to me, right? Blessed are you when you let others walk all over you. Blessed are you when you let people wipe their feet on you. Blessed are you when you are left laying at the front door only to get trampled on. It's another one of those sermons that Jesus just wants us to be nice. Right, Pastor? I mean, let's face it. In this country, nobody gets rewarded for being meek. Nobody gets rewarded for being mild. Nobody gets rewarded for being humble or gentle. You know, I like some of these other fruits, right? Give me love. Give me joy. I mean, I could use some more patience. Give me goodness and kindness. I get the whole faithfulness thing, but gentleness? Gentleness, if it means that you are suggesting that it means to be meek and mild, to be stepped on and trampled on, then maybe I'll pass on this one. You know, you don't make it in this world if you're a pushover, right? This country likes people who speak up, who get things done, who are tough and rugged, folks who take the bull by the horns and make stuff happen. Not sure Jesus is real helpful this morning, preacher. All this gentle giant stuff, come on. Stick your head out in my world for a minute. What you're suggesting ain't going to help me much. And yet here it is. Jesus says, when my spirit comes upon you, you will be gentled. Again, in order to understand maybe what Jesus is talking about here this morning, we need to look at the Greek word that is used in this place. For it gives us a fuller meaning of what Jesus is talking about here. If you were to look at the Greek word that we put in for gentleness or meekness or humility, the Greek word is praus. And where does that word come from in the Greek words? Praus was a word that came from the world of horses. Praus is a word that was used by a trainer when he was attempting to gentle, to tame, to train a horse. Here's the thing. I don't know nothing about horses. But my friend, my main man, Jimmy McCann, does. And so I called him. I said, Jimmy, help your preacher with the sermon this week. Jimmy's a horseman. Been a horseman most of his life. Knows horses better than he knows people some days, he tells me. He says they're easier than people when you get down to it. I said, Jimmy, tell me what it's like to gentle a horse, to train a horse. He said, Pastor, the first thing you need to know about training a horse is that it's all about relationship. The trainer develops a relationship with the horse. He says, it's all about trust. It's the horse learning to trust that the trainer has his best interest in mind. You see, the relationship between the horse and the trainer, between the horse and the rider, it's a process of the horse learning to take new direction, to yield its power for a different purpose. Jesus says that's the spirit that comes into you and me, the ability to be gentled, to be trained, to learn to trust the trainer. I mean, the horse doesn't give away its power. It just lets its power be directed by someone else. It's letting someone else do the driving. In the world of Jesus, a gentled horse's power and speed could be used by a farmer to till the field in order to produce crops, to feed the family, to feed the neighbors, to feed maybe the entire community. And if that horse just remained wild, it could run around and do whatever it wanted, however it wanted to do it, then it could never be a part about bringing about a greater good. But when gentled, when learning to allow someone else to take hold of the reins and direct him, the gentled horse can become useful in ways it could never do before it was put in the hands of a trusted trainer. How'd I do, Jimmy? Okay? Is that about right? Okay. So if this image of horse training is what the Lord has in mind for us, maybe we can begin to see what this part of God's Spirit is that He's calling us to do. You know what a gentled spirit is? A gentled spirit is a spirit that is the control of a higher power. It's a spirit that allows God to take hold of the reins. I got to be honest with you for a moment. When I look at my spiritual life, it's kind of like the hokey pokey. You remember the hokey pokey, right? You know, I was a wedding DJ for 3 years in college. I did the hokey pokey every weekend for 3 years of my life. The hokey pokey really was what it was all about for me, right? And you remember how the song of the hokey pokey goes, right? You put your right arm in, you put your right arm out, you put your right arm in, and then you shake it all about, you do the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about, right? Thank you, Michelle. Michelle's got that one down. Right? My spiritual life ends up being a lot more like the hokey pokey than I care to admit. For example, take my wallet. Right? Here, God, take it. Put my wallet in. Oh, take my wallet out. Oh, put my wallet in. Oh, take my wallet out, right? Here, God, take control of my finances. You know better than me what to do with these resources. They're your resources anyway. Ooh, boy, iPad. I think I'm going to take that back out, right? I put it in, I put it out. I'm constantly wrestling with God for control, like the hokey pokey. And it's not just my finances, it's my time, right? It's my watch. Here, God, I'm giving you my time. And that doesn't mean just time to do more things. It's actually taking God's time into account, which means making space for the things that really matter, like kids and family and home and things like that. Not just doing more for God, but so I take my watch and I put it in and I say, God, I'm giving you my time. I'm giving you my life. And before I know it, I'm taking it out. In and out, in and out. God's life, my spiritual life, is more like the hokey pokey than I care to admit. Take my pain, God. Nope. I'm taking it back. Take my hurt, God. Nope. I'm taking it back. Take my anger, God. Nope. I'm going to take that anger back, God. Take my habits. Take my hang-ups. Take my hurts. Nope. I'm going to take them all back. In and out. In and out. This spiritual hokey pokey. Constantly wrestling with God for control of my life. But you know where the hokey pokey gets it right? At the end of the song, you eventually got to put your whole self in. And I'm here today to tell you what you already know, is that there comes a point in our lives where eventually we just run out of options. And we eventually say, God, I just got to put my whole self in. And I just got to trust. I just got to trust that if I give you the reins of my life, that you're going to direct me in a way that I need to be directed. No more of this in and out wrestling, this constant fighting with God. You take my life, God. No, I'm going to take it back. The day comes when you have to put your whole self in. I'm giving you the reins, God. I'm going to try it your way. Maybe I'll give this forgiveness thing a try. Maybe I'll finally get to an AA meeting. Maybe I'll finally get to therapy. Maybe I'll do something to help me with my anger or for my depression. Lord, finally, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try this 10% thing, God. I'm going to try it, God. I'm going to try that Bible study. I'm going to try to work less or eat less or stress less. Whatever it is that we're constantly wrestling with God for control, there will come this time in our life when we simply put ourselves in order to be gentled by the hands of the trainer. Let me ask you, where is God's Spirit trying to gentle you today? What stubbornness are you still holding on to, believing that your way, that our way is better than God's way? What are we still holding on to? The good news today is that through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God has put in us this Spirit to be gentled. You and I have within us the Spirit to allow God to shape us and mold us and to make us into the people God has always intended us to be. That desire is within us if we simply let go and let God. What are you holding on to today? What can't you let go of? Gentleness is power under God's control. It's a condition of being teachable and flexible. Paul says it's the mark of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Hear his words in Ephesians 5 today. Here's what Paul has to say about gentleness. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And what are the marks of the worthy call of following Jesus? Humility. and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Such different marks than the marks we may think it would be in order to be a successful follower of Christ. Maybe one of the best marks of someone's heart that has been gentled is the increasing ability not to strike back, especially when someone might truly deserve it, right? We've all been there when somebody messes up and they know they've messed up and they come to us saying, hey, I messed up, and bam, you got them. You got them when they're down. You let them have it. You rub it in. Think about that opening story of George Washington this morning. General Washington could have easily read that corporal the riot act. That corporal deserved to be read of the riot act. He could have embarrassed him. He could have humiliated him, but he didn't. He simply got off his horse and did the right thing. George Washington said it all without saying a word. Friends, there is strength in a gentled spirit. There is no humiliation in humility, and there is no weakness in meekness. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beg you, Paul says, to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. Be gentled. Let your power be under the control of the trainer. Jimmy told me that training a horse is an exercise in trust. The horse must come to believe that the horse trainer can be trusted, that the trainer wants only the best for the horse, that the trainer would never humiliate or harm the horse in any way. And it is the same way God approaches us. We can be gentled because God's hands are gentle. So whatever it is that we're holding back, afraid that if we bring it to God, that God's gonna humiliate us or scold us, I'm here today to tell you that the hands of the one waiting to train us are gentle hands. Maybe they look like these. There's this story of this family that was out for a Sunday drive. Remember the days when you go out for a Sunday drive? Your mom and dad would say, get in the car, we're going for a Sunday drive. Where are we going? We don't know. We're just going for a Sunday drive, right? Do people still do Sunday drives? We don't do. Do you still do some Sunday just driving? We should probably do that sometime, huh? Just go for a Sunday drive. There's probably a McDonald's somewhere on the way. We can find it. Just go for a ride, right? So they're out for this ride, and they're going down the things, and the kids off to the side of the road see this bundle of fur on the side of the road, and it's moving and squirming around, and they start saying, Dad, Dad, that's a cat on the side of the road. That's a cat on the side of the road. Dad, we got to stop and get the cat. The dad said, kids, be quiet. I'm trying to enjoy my Sunday ride. And they plead with the dad. They say, Dad, Dad, that's a cat on the side of the road. We got to go back and get that cat. Dad, go back and get the cat. The dad's like, we got enough animals at the house. We don't need another animal. I'm not getting another animal. They go, Dad, you have got to go get that cat. And that's when the mom looks at him and goes, you're going to need to go get that cat. So they turned around, and there on the side of the road, sure enough, was this cat. Not exactly sure what this cat had been through, but it hadn't been through good times. It was rough and mangled, and the hair was gnatted. It had fleas. It could see its ribs. And when the father reached out to pick up the cat scratched him, reached out and hissed and arched its back and put a scratch mark on his hand. The father reached out again and got this struggling cat in his hands, got that cat into the car and brought that car home. And they made this bed for this cat, and they put that cat in there, and day after day and week after week, they fed this cat, they nursed this cat, they nurtured this cat, until a couple of months later, the father suddenly walked into the kitchen one day and he felt something rubbing against his leg. And he looked down, and there was that cat purring. Same cat? Absolutely. What made all the difference? All he had to do was look at the father's hands. They were full of scratches. 2,000 years ago, the hands of God came to us full of wounds, full of scratches. It's into the hands of that loving God that we place our life and our spirit, trusting that the hands of the gentled Savior will gentle us. May it be so for us today, for that Spirit has been placed in us. Amen.